you ever thought about what really goes into supporting digital scholarship? Well, some may say it takes a village, but here at the University of Illinois, it's bigger than that. It takes a campus. The Scholarly Commons will be interviewing experts across campus about all the new and exciting things that are happening to support digital scholarship. We will sit down with a specialist to learn about what they do, how they do it, and why they got started working in their field. Hear what we mean when we say it takes a campus to do what we do.
Hello and welcome to the Library Experts podcast at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I am Billy Tringali with the Scholarly Commons, and I am here with Sarah Benson, our copyright librarian. Sarah, thank you so much for agreeing to be on my podcast.
Well, welcome to the wild and woolly world of podcasting.
I'm very excited to be getting involved with it. This is going to be a very fun project. You have a podcast, and I think that would be a cool thing to open with discussing.
Sure. So I have a podcast. It is called Copyright Chat. It's a little hard to find on iTunes because when you search for it, if you write out the word copyright, you don't find it. If you search my name, Sarah Benson, you will find it. Or if you put the copyright symbol in there and then put copyright symbol hat. So maybe my name was selected poorly, but I like it.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, and on the podcast, I talk to a variety of experts on copyright. A lot of them are copyright librarians, but not all. And we just talk about current copyright issues, and it's really pretty fun, I think. And so it's not meant only for experts. It's meant for lay audiences as well. So I invite anyone who's interested to listen.
And that leads very well into your field of expertise. You are the copyright librarian for the university. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a copyright librarian?
That's a really good question. I think it varies depending on the institution. So some folks at their job are the copyright police.
Ooh.
If they have to enforce copyright all over campus and knock on doors and be very unwelcomed. Luckily, that's not my job.
That's great.
My job is more of an advocate with, for instance, the U.S. Copyright Office. If there are changes that would help libraries and librarians, I will respond to call for comments.
Wow.
I also do a lot of educating. So I do guest lectures. I consider my podcast part of my education arm. And I talk to pretty much anyone who will talk to me. And that includes staff members. It includes, you know, bookstore staff who are making, say, copies for course packs. It includes people who are making MOOCs. It includes faculty, students, even community members, since our library is a public library.
Yes.
From a land-grant institution. If I get a phone call from, say, a local artist about, you know, what are my rights and copyright, what should I do with this or that, I will send them to information. But the one of the key things that I have to do in my job is to give people a disclaimer, which is, I am a lawyer, but I'm not your lawyer. So I cannot give legal advice in my role as a librarian. And I've actually had people offer to pay me to give them legal advice. And I just can't do that for many reasons. One is that it would be a conflict of interest with my job.
Yes.
Also, you know, that's not the role of a librarian, right? Our role in any arm of librarianship is to help people find what they're looking for in terms of information, but not to do the research for people, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you don't come to the library and say, do this research for me. You say, can you help me formulate this research, or can you help me find this book, or I'm not sure where to begin. And that's the same kind of information that I give. It's just specific to copyright.
Yeah. And you were a lawyer before you were a librarian.
Correct. So I have had a long career. It started as a practicing attorney. I started at a big law firm in Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
I was practicing commercial litigation defense for big corporations. I won't name any of them right now. And I found myself doing a lot of pro bono work, which is free work for clients who can't pay. And a lot of family law, actually.
Wow.
And so I found myself really not motivated by making money and helping big corporations make money. I was more motivated by the heart of helping people.
That's wonderful.
And so I decided big law wasn't for me, and I wanted to kind of change career paths. And ultimately, I wanted to become a professor because yes. I really like teaching. But before I did that, I got my master's of law, and I joined a small boutique law firm in Austin, Texas, while my husband finished his graduate degree. And I was practicing domestic violence law. So
wow.
I was helping women and children mostly. We did have male clients as well, but mostly women and children to escape very violent situations. And it was really rewarding work, but it was very stressful. And so I enjoyed doing that, but I only did it for a short time
yeah.
for various reasons, one of which is that my husband graduated and we both went on the job market. And we ended up here at University of Illinois, and I was at the law school teaching mostly legal research and writing for 10 years. I did teach a little bit of domestic violence and a little bit of sexual orientation in the law
wow.
and contracts and a bunch of other things. Then I decided to get my Master's of Library Science degree.
Hey.
And right away, I went to Career Services and I said, hey, what can I do with, you know, a law degree and an MLS
yeah.
degree? And they said, oh, well, you could be a copyright librarian. And my first response to that was, that sounds horrible. I just thought, I don't want to do that. Because, you know, when you hear copyright, you think, I'm going to be looking at legalese all day. I'm going to be looking
right.
at contracts. And I know a lot about contracts. Don't get me wrong. They're
yeah.
not really fun.
No, I can't imagine they would be.
They're okay, but they're, you know, I didn't want to shuffle paper all day.
No.
And I thought that was the job of a copyright librarian, and
right.
because I didn't know. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll give this one, you know, college try, and I'll take copyright law at the law school as part of my MLS degree.
Wow.
So I found myself in a law class with some of my former students.
That's crazy.
And, with a professor, Professor Heald, who was my former colleague.
Oh, my gosh.
So I sat through that class, and I found that it was really fun. Copyright law is fun. Who knew?
Not me, but that's great.
And it's, you know, like all law, it's full of a lot of stories. But the stories involve things such as art, music, performance, dance.
Wow.
All these wonderful, interesting cases that are not boring at all.
No.
I found it really exciting and really a really challenging area of the law, too,
yeah.
because there's a lot of uncertainty, especially in fair use. And I really found it challenging and fun and engaging. And I decided, hey, copyright law is great. Maybe I would like being a copyright librarian. And
yeah.
the truth of the matter is that I do. I really love it. I feel really lucky that I found this field that is so dynamic that you really don't know what you're going to get on a daily basis. You could get a question about author's rights. You could get a question about permissions. You could get a question about licensing. You could get a question about fair use. You could get a question about so many different things.
Wow.
And so it's really fun. And one of the most enjoyable things is, okay, so I'll tell you the truth about being a lawyer.
Yes,
most
please.
People don't like lawyers. This is not shocking.
No, I don't think that that's going to be a revelation, but it's fun to hear from a lawyer.
There are a lot of lawyer jokes out there, and I think that there may be a reason for that. But people aren't usually happy to see a lawyer because a lawyer is usually there to say no, or they're there to say, pay me a lot of money. But people do like librarians.
They do.
They find us to be helpful, and they come to us when they are at their wits' end and they just don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And often what we do is we help them. We show them a path forward, and we provide them with much needed guidance at a time of need.
Yes.
Right? So when we provide them some clear guidance in a direction, they're usually quite thankful. And it's a wonderful feeling to be thanked, because as a lawyer, you are not thanked.
Oh.
Where in my job as a copyright librarian, it's almost daily that I get a heartfelt thank you from a client or someone, a patron, and it's really rewarding.
That is wonderful.
So I really enjoy that aspect of it. I also have a wonderful group of colleagues.
Yes, I wanted to ask, are you amongst several lawyers among your colleagues? What does it take to be a copyright librarian? Well, do you have to have a law degree?
Those are good questions. So
I'd hope so.
When I talk about colleagues as copyright librarians, I'm talking about national and international copyright librarians. I'm the only copyright librarian at the University of Illinois, and I'm the only one we've ever had who's full-time doing copyright librarianship.
That's incredible.
The copyright librarians, they're such a great group of people. Again, I think they're driven by helping people.
Yes.
And a lot of them are lawyers. But I will say this, there are some of us who don't have a law degree at all. And you really don't need one to do this job. What you need is you need to enjoy a challenge because it's not going to be easy.
Oh boy.
But if you're up for a challenge and you really enjoy the challenge, and you're willing to put the time in to really learn the field, you really don't need to be a lawyer. And there are folks out there who are just as well-versed in copyright librarianship and copyright law as I am who don't have a JD. I'm thinking of Eric Harbison as a notable librarian. He's a music librarian out at Colorado Boulder. He actually went to the iSchool.
Hey.
And he is a phenomenal librarian and knows he could argue me under the table about copyright law. Now, I'm not going to say he would necessarily, you know, prove me wrong or anything, but but we could go back and forth and he can hold his own because he just knows the law that well.
Yeah. You've talked about what an amazing career this would be, but can you give us sort of a day in the life? Can you give us some of the questions that you might receive as a copyright librarian?
Sure. So in a given day, I might get questions from, for instance, someone who wants to put on a public performance of a musical work, maybe a dance troupe or a music troupe, and they're worried about the performance rights.
Yeah.
And the same day, there might be a student group that wants to show a film, and they don't know if they can do so without paying for public performance rights. Many of the films that we have streaming through the library, we do have public performance rights for.
That's great.
But people don't necessarily know that.
No.
I might also have a professor who wants to make copies of a certain work and put them on their course reserve page, and they're not sure if they need to pay a licensing fee to do that.
Right.
And in the same day, I might have a student who is working on an article and is thinking about publishing it, and maybe they don't understand what they need to do in order to do that. For instance, maybe someone is writing a dissertation and they plan to publish their dissertation as a whole, but they also want to publish parts of it as book chapters.
Yeah.
So they need to think carefully about that and reserving the right to use the chapters in their dissertation when they actually compile the whole thing, or else they might have to go back and ask for permission from each publisher.
Wow.
So there are so many different issues. I mean, this is just...
What a day.
That would be a pretty busy day, but I've had busy days like that. But I'm always happy to help them, and they're usually happy to get some sort of guidance, right?
So for lay people listening, like myself, what is the basic knowledge of copyright that you think we should have?
That's a good question. So I think as librarians, and I'm gonna talk to the librarian people here.
Yes, hello, we're listening.
Yes, not like general lay people, because that would be different. But I do think as librarians, there are a few key things. The biggest thing I would say is to understand how copyright is formed.
Yes.
Because today we don't have any formalities that are required. So in other words, you don't have to put a copyright symbol on your work. You don't have to file it with Copyright Office. You don't have to renew your registration. Now, some of those things are helpful.
Yeah.
The copyright symbol is helpful to put people on notice, and it's also helpful to register your work, because if you don't, you will forfeit statutory damages and you will not be able to sue anyone.
Oh.
So there are prerequisites to suing people and getting certain damages, but you don't have to put it on your work to have a copyright. And the other thing that I would say is really important is to understand fair use, which is very complicated, but not so complicated that you can't understand it.
Good.
So I think people should try to understand fair use. I think they should look at Section 108. Mm. Those are the library exceptions that allow libraries to make they allow library patrons to make copies on our copy machines.
That's very good.
They allow us to engage in interlibrary loan, which is really important.
That's huge.
They allow us to make copies for preservation and archival uses.
Yeah.
And they tell us when we can make those copies available to patrons.
Yeah.
So those are things that I think are really important, those sections. And then the right of first sale, I think, is really important because that's what allows us to lend books in the first place.
Great.
Right? So the first sale doctrine says, you know, once I have sold a book, then, and you have bought it, you're allowed to do whatever you want with it.
Wow.
You can sell it to somebody else. You can give it to somebody else. You can put it in your free library in your backyard.
Yeah.
Right? You can do whatever you want. That's why libraries in the U.S. can lend out books that are in copyright. We bought them.
Yeah.
And then we can lend them.
Wow.
Now,
And that's not true everywhere.
It's not. Well, okay. It is true, but what happens is there are things called public lending rights that are employed in other nations. And what happens there is that they have to then collect money to a general fund that are then redistributed to authors for the public lending of their works through libraries.
Wow.
And in the U.S., we do not have that. So once a library buys a book, they can lend it as much as they want. That particular copy,
yes.
Right? Not multiple copies,
no.
That particular copy, without paying any other fees.
Wow.
Whereas in other countries, such as Europe, you might have other countries in Europe,
yeah.
I should say. That's saying Europe as a country is inaccurate. But in countries in Europe, they would have to collect funds for the authors for those lending. And that sounds good on
it
principle.
Does, but...
But it can be really tricky because how do you determine how much any given author gets? There have been some people say that those funds are not well spent or well managed.
Yeah.
And in general, it's not as good for the public, right? Because it's harder for them to then get access to those books. And it makes it more expensive for libraries to lend books. So I'm very happy with the right of first sale and the broad rights that it gives us in the U.S. So that's another thing that I would say is important to know.
Yeah.
I think the face-to-face teaching exception is really helpful if you're in an academic library.
Definitely.
Or if you're in a school library
at
the K-12 level. It's really helpful to know that.
And that falls under fair use.
No, that there's a separate section. It's section 110.1 that gives you the right to perform or display any work in the context of face-to-face teaching, which means in the classroom with students at a given time.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And so that's how, for instance, if our library buys a copy of a movie, then a professor can show it in their classroom without having any other license or without having paying any other fee. Our copyright law in the U.S. is very friendly to educators, researchers, the public, libraries. There are a lot of great things about our copyright laws. It's a really nice balance between authors' rights and the rights of the public.
That's fantastic. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, thank you so much for being on this podcast. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It was very enjoyable. And I encourage anyone who has additional questions for me to send me an email, look me up on the web. I am always happy to talk to people about copyright.
Yes. And do you want to plug your podcast one more time at the end of this?
Sure. So you can find my podcast called Copyright Chat at iTunes. And I've been told the easiest way is to search for my name, Sarah Benson, with no H.
Thank you again.
It Takes a Campus is a podcast brought to you by the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign's Scholarly Commons, located in the main library. If you want more from us, be sure to check out our blog, Commons Knowledge, at publish.illinois.edu/commonsknowledge, and follow us on Twitter at Schol Commons. That's S-C-H-O-L Commons. The opening and closing song is Tranquility Base by AAA Alto. You can find their album Bright Colors in the Free Music Archive by searching for AAA Alto at freemusicarchive.org. Thanks for listening. In today's episode, we had guest Sarah Benson interviewed by Billy Tringali. Sarah now serves as the interim head of the Scholarly Commons, as well as her position as copyright librarian in the university's main library. Billy is now the law librarian for outreach at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia.